Bruce Lansky said, "Parenthood is a lot easier to get into than out of." Parenting expert Bill Cosby said, "No matter how calmly you try to referee, parenting will eventually produce bizarre behavior. And I'm not talking about the kids." Irma Bombeck said, "When my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. And when they're finished, I climb out." Susan Savannah said, "If your kids are giving you a headache, follow the instructions on the aspirin bottle, especially the part that says, 'Keep away from children.'" Someone else said, "I love to play hide and seek with my kid, but some days my goal is to find a hiding place where he can't find me until after high school." Sam Levinson claimed, "Insanity is hereditary. You get it from your kids." Bill Cosby gives this advice about naming children: "Always end the name of your child with a vowel so that when you yell, the name will carry." Comedian Buddy Hackett, remembering his own childhood, said, "As a child, my family's menu consisted of two choices: take it or leave it." And finally, John Wilmot said, "Before I got married, I had 6 theories about bringing up children. Now I have 6 children and no theories." We've been studying the story of how God rescued the Israelite people from slavery in Egypt and is creating a new nation with himself as their king and them as his people. And right now in the story, after being freed from Egyptian slavery and trekking a couple of hundred miles into the desert wilderness, the Israelites are camped at the foot of Mount Sinai, where they are receiving a special covenant from the Lord. And the core of this covenant is what is known as the Ten Commandments. We've talked about this before, but I briefly want to repeat it again because there is so much misunderstanding over the centuries about the Ten Commandments and Christianity. The Ten Commandments are primarily part of a covenant between God and the Jewish people. The moral and ethical part of the Ten Commandments are standards of behavior for Christ's followers. But through Jesus Christ, a relationship with God has been made possible, which is based on grace through faith, rather than the law of God given through Moses, which the Ten Commandments are a part of. So as we continue to look at the Ten Commandments this morning, please keep in mind that these are standards of behavior for us as Christians, but they are not a means of salvation or of having a relationship with God. As Peter said in Acts 4:12, referring to Jesus, he said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Jesus Christ has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. He has lived his life obeying the law of God with absolute perfection and died in our place as a sacrifice for our sins, our failure to keep the law of God. He then came back to life on the third day, making it possible for all who would put their faith in him and what he has done to be saved from the judgment of God against sin. That's where our hope lies, not in keeping a moral code. So far, of the Ten Commandments, we have looked at the first 4, which all have to do with Israel's relationship with God, and consequently, it has to do with our relationship with God as well as followers of Jesus. In very abbreviated form, these 4 commandments are: only worship God, don't make or worship idols, honor the name of the Lord. And for the Jew, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And for the Christian, remember the Lord and how he has rescued us and given us a special relationship with him through Jesus Christ. We talked at length last time about the 4th commandment and the the way it's connected and related to the Christian. And if you miss that and you're curious about the Sabbath and how that connects to Christianity and you as a Christian, you can always watch the video on our website or get the MP3s and listen to them from the website. Now today, we're going to begin our study of the last six commandments, which all have to do with our relationship with one another. And today, we're going to focus our attention on the fifth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 12. You can start turning in your Bibles to Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, on the surface, this commandment may look like simply an admonition for children to listen to and obey their parents. But there is more being addressed here than that. The bigger, more fundamental issue being addressed is the importance of respecting and protecting the family structure within the community. Remember, God is building a new kingdom, a new society, a new nation with the Israelite people, and the family is the basic building block for this society. For the society to be healthy and strong, the family needs to be healthy and strong. When we see this commandment in this light, it makes sense why it's listed first of these last six commandments. And we can also see, too, the connection with the promise associated with this commandment, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. If the basic building block of the Jewish society, the family, fails, the entire society will fail. Their nation will not survive if this basic building block is not respected and protected as a fundamental law and principle for them. Clearly, the family is also the basic building block for our society, and the need for respecting and protecting the family is as essential for us as it was for them. The two parties that are most closely involved in seeing that the family structure is respected and protected are parents and kids. And it's on these two groups that we'll be focusing most of our attention today. But just in case there is anyone here who feels that this topic really has no relevance for them, I'd like to remind us that we are all children. Every single one of us is a child, and every single one of us has at least one father that is still present with us and active in our life, our Heavenly Father. And as I have already implied, the care of the family unit is not only the responsibility of parents and kids, but the larger community as well. So this topic has relevance for all of us, no matter what our life situation might be. It says to honor. That word honor means to prize highly, to respect, to care for, to revere, to hold in high regard, to give deference to your father and your mother, your parents. This commandment is restated in a number of different ways throughout the Scripture, both in the Old and New Testament. I'll give you a couple of examples from each. Deuteronomy 5:16 is really a restatement of this commandment. It says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Proverbs 1:8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." And Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." The severity of the punishment attached to the breaking of this commandment was extremely severe under the Old Testament law. And I'll say before we look at these next few scriptures that I'm grateful that we are not under the Old Testament law. I'm very thankful for Jesus Christ, who has freed us from a system like that. But in Exodus 21:17, it says, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Leviticus 29 says the same thing. Now that word, this translated curse, it doesn't mean to cuss at your parents or to speak an evil spell over them, as which might be a more common understanding of that word in our own day. Instead, the word translated curse, as used here, means to show gross disrespect and contempt for your parents, to treat their authority over you as small and meaningless. So the extremely old school punishment for showing gross disrespect and contempt for your parents, treating their authority as though it was nothing, was death. Look at an amplified version of this same idea that's found over in Deuteronomy chapter 21. It says in verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Indeed. And it will probably only take one. And there will be no more rebellious teenagers in that community if they really carried this out in all of its severity. Here's how the same idea is stated in Proverbs in a poetic fashion. In Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. You like those word pictures? Now, my point in showing you these scriptures is not to scare you straight if you're a child, or to give your parents license to take you out for being a punk, but to show us how important this issue is to God. Showing proper respect to our parents, obeying them, honoring the family structure is very important to the Lord, and it should be very important to us too. Children should acknowledge and submit to the leadership and authority of their fathers and mothers. Parents should concern themselves with the very important task of raising their children in a way that is pleasing to God. And our community should respect the family unit and seek to support and strengthen it. Now let's talk for a moment about parenting, because there are two sides to this coin of the fifth commandment. There is the child part and there is the parent part. And we, I think, have talked enough about the child part. As parents, we need to be making our children's part of the commandment as easy as possible for them to follow. And what I mean is this: we need to work at being someone they can honor and respect, someone who is giving them sound leadership and instruction to follow and obey. Our parenting forms a large part of the foundation that our children are going to build the rest of their life on. If we give our kids a weak and shaky foundation to build on, it affects the rest of their life. It's shocking and disturbing to see the numbers of people who are so poorly equipped to enter adult life because of the poor preparation they have received from their parents. See, we shouldn't depend on the school system and the government to prepare our children for adulthood. That's not their job. That is our job as dads and moms. The school can teach them math and English, but values and ethics and character need to come from parents. Parents need to teach their children courage and perseverance and honesty and forgiveness and grace and love and kindness and the value of hard work and the value of self-discipline and how to fight and what to fight for. Those things come from us. I hear people sometimes make remarks about how kids today are so lazy and irresponsible. Well, where do we think those kids came from? Where do we think those kids learned that stuff? These are the children from the most self-indulgent generation in American history. There are always the exceptions that rise above their circumstances and thrive in the most horrifying environments. But that's not the norm, and that can't be what we hang our hopes on. We want to give our children the best opportunity we can for them to succeed in life. And when I say succeed, I'm not talking in a material sense. I hope none of us hope for something so shallow for ourselves or our children as material success. I'm talking about succeeding in the sense of being fully formed adult human beings who love the Lord and are serving Him with their life and making a contribution to their society and are able to reproduce and lead other children to become adults too. Where do we get what we need to give our children a good foundation for their life? Well, from the same place that we get the fifth commandment, from the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." Teach yourself the Word of God and teach your children the Word of God. Build your life on the Word of God and build the life of your children on the Word of God. Well, when? It says right here, take every opportunity that presents itself. Grab every teachable moment you can, talking about the truths of God when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up, it says. Or to use more modern terms, we might say, talking about the truths of God when you're watching television and playing video games and mowing the lawn and doing the dishes and shopping in the mall and getting ready for Little League practice and when you tuck them in at night. We want to be wise and real about how we do it. We don't want to be a Bible-thumping, hypocritical nag, guilt-tripping our children all the time. The Bible says, and then not doing it ourselves. Instead, we first need a genuine relationship with the Lord ourselves, which is an obvious part of our life. And then we need to keep a constant eye out for ways of communicating God's eternal truths to our children in ways that make sense to them. You know, Jesus, He liked to use stories and examples from daily life to communicate spiritual truths, what we call parables. And following His example with our own children works well. Being an example that they can observe is really important. There's a well-known quote by Clarence Kelland, which you may have heard before. It goes like this: "My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. Exodus 20:12. "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." In the context which this promise attached to the end of this fifth commandment is given, it's referring to the Israelites living long in the land of Canaan. And this promise was not limited to just following the fifth commandment, but all of God's commandments, the Word of God as a whole. I want us to look for a moment at what Moses says to the Israelite people in Deuteronomy chapter 30. At this point, they have spent 40 years traveling around in this desert wilderness, and they're near the border of the Promised Land again for the second time. Moses is at the end of his life. He's going to die very soon. And as part of his final instructions to the people of Israel, he says this in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. He says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." In a figurative sense, the same choice is laid before us, life and death, both for ourselves and our children. Life comes by following the word of God. Death comes by following our own word. Sin destroys life and relationships and futures. Following the word of God keeps us out of all kinds of trouble and hardship and complication and mess. Following the word of God is a path that leads to life and peace and joy. Parents, teach your children to love the Lord and his word. It's the most important thing you can do for their futures. As parents, we want to give our children a better life than we had. And most people think of that in an economic and material sense. But if we really want to improve our children's lives, making them rich and full, providing them with what will benefit them their whole life long, giving them the absolute best future they could ever have, then teach them the ways of the Lord. Pass godly wisdom onto them. As it says in Proverbs 1, 8, and 9, we read it a little bit earlier, "Your teachings and your instructions will be for them a garland to grace their head and a necklace to adorn their neck." In closing this morning, I want to share a personal story and confession. You guys always like that when I do that, don't you? A confession. I can still remember the birth of my first child, Taylor, like it was yesterday. And it was an amazing moment of excitement and joy, but it was also one of the most frightening and sobering moments of my life. This medical professional handed me this tiny, delicate, helpless human being with a simple congratulations and then turned away to tend to her other duties. There was no instruction manual that came with this little life I was holding. There was no orientation meeting to cover maintenance intervals and fluid levels and fuel and lubricants and that sort of thing. This was not a car. It was just assumed that I knew what I was doing. And I didn't know what I was doing. Now, while we were still at the hospital, it was okay, because there were plenty of nurses and doctors nearby to bail us out if we hit a snag. But that moment came when we had to take this little one home. That's when the real fear came. I was scared and I was intimidated about having so much responsibility for something of such great value and with so much dependency on me. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that I was the bearer of a great responsibility. That was 17 years ago, and I still don't know what I'm doing. I just know that I am the bearer of a very great responsibility. And that is a good place to be, because it keeps me in a radical place of dependency upon the Lord. Parenting is a growth process, and in some ways the experience has more impact on us as parents than it does on our children. Through parenting my children, I have been learning what a man is, what a father is. I have been becoming a man. I have been becoming a father. And these are gifts from God that I would never trade. Parents, remember this whole thing is as much a process for you as it is for your kids. Walk with the Lord. Depend on Him. And you're going to do great. Let's bow our heads. Father, the enormity of the responsibility as a parent can be terrifying. But we have the great example of yourself as our Heavenly Father to follow. And God, we are utterly dependent upon you to carry us and our children through this experience, bring us out on the other side, bringing glory to you, and you doing your beautiful work in each of us. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to walk with you. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our parents. And we all said, Amen.